So I know last week I was cold, guys, and you fixed the AC, but now we need to get the heat going because we live in Canada and it's freezing. So can we please get that heat going? Okay? Because this podcast is about to get hot. All right, well, sometimes when you've got something to give, you've got to give it when you can. What the hell am I talking about? Well, I'm currently driving to my day job, the job that puts food on the table. The sun is barely cresting the horizon here in the great white north. The sky's actually really pretty. It's yellow with some pinks, streaks of pink in it. And I'm trying to suck whatever vitamin D I can through my eyeballs into my body because it's really early. And when we get into these days up here north of the border, if you're listening in the United States, sunlight is at a premium. Let's just say that. So we're trying to get our day off to a good start. Welcome to Pop Jaw. If you've not been here before, my name is Jeff. I'm your host, and this podcast is all about a couple things. We get deep into radio-controlled hobby, the radio-controlled hobby RC, as you'll hear me refer to it. If you're a returning listener, you know all about it, and you're probably up to your knees in it. You know, we'll talk about why we're in the hobby, the trends in the hobby, what's coming, what's going, what's hot, what's not. You know, we'll talk about RC racing, so some buggy action, some on-road racing, some 10th scale stuff, and wherever else this podcast takes us. I mean, I think eventually I can see me talking about a lot more. Right now, the RC focus is, though, where I'm at, and that's in the racing spectrum. Two-wheel drive buggy, four-wheel drive touring car, Tamiya, TT01s and TT02s, but I could see us expanding on that. And of course, we also talk about how life as a dad. What does it mean to be a dad? In my experience, I have a lot of sport in my life and sport woven into my fiber, to be honest. My entire family is very athletic and very, I think, focused on sport as we grew up, and I'm carrying that through to my kids. So we'll talk a lot about that. We'll get into in our section called Tarps Off, which is our sports section of the podcast. We'll talk about today is and tonight will be the time of recording, the first NHL regular season game for the Toronto Maple Leafs for the 2023-2024 season. Pretty excited about that. We'll talk about our hopes, where we think this team's going to go this year. A quick look around the NHL, which we haven't done yet. We've looked at some of the other leagues like the Professional Women's Hockey League and whatnot. And of course, most importantly, when it comes to sports, we'll talk about my kids' seasons and how they're progressing, because those are obviously the most important seasons, the seasons of my daughter and my son. Way, way more important than the NHL. So, to wrap up the podcast, we'll get into Dad Bod, which is, you know, it's my thoughts and musings around what it means to be a dad and staying fit for and staying in shape to keep up with your kids and your family and provide for them and do your bit as a dad, as a key part of the family. We're all key parts of our family, but my part as a dad, what I can do. I'm fighting a little bit of a runny nose today, so if I don't sound my greatest, I apologize. But that's it. This is Pop Jaw. We're going to get through this red light in front of me. And then we're going to come back and we're going to get into RC Corner. That was the worst RC Corner I've ever sang. Like I said, feeling a little bit under the weather, but I try to bring it for you guys. So try my best here. I'm going to grab a couple glugs of coffee, keep my eyes on the road. And when we come back, we're going to jump into some radio control car talk right here on Pop Jaw. Okay, the journey's over. It's a day later. I've got a little bit of time here after work, and I'm not in my car. I'm not driving,
in the cold, dark tundra that is Canada, most parts of Canada anyways, this time of year. BC, where our boy Ty Tessman lives or is from, is gorgeous. I'm pretty sure Ty Tessman's from BC. I could have that wrong. It could be Alberta, but I think it's BC. British Columbia, which is, for all of my American listeners, just north of like Seattle, Washington, on the West Coast, is gorgeous. And in the winter, I'm pretty sure they have daylight. And I'm positive, because I've been there in January, that you can wear a light shirt and pants. And in some places, you can wear shorts and play basketball. And then up in the mountains, you can go skiing. Anyways, I shouldn't call Canada a dark tundra, because really, it's not all that bad. So I want to get into just a little bit here in the RC Corner. We're going to start off with touching on a few things that I've noticed around RC here. I want to talk about Reefs. So Reefs, the popular RC brand out of California. I want to talk about, where are my Canadians? Where are my RC knuckleheads? And give a few shout outs. And then we're going to transition over into a very, in my humble opinion, entertaining conversation we had with Pabs, aka RC Amigos, aka Taco Bout RC on Spotify. And we got into a lot of different things in RC. We talked about tracks. He's building a wicked track in his backyard for Rally. This is a man who has an awesome vision for things that he's doing. He's got a backyard that anybody in RC would be envious of. He's constantly changing the track. He's had a monster truck run. He's had, I think at every point of tracks, he had like a sort of a slash, like a short course truck track. But at every point of those tracks, he's had like an infield, crawling infield, or a crawling element to it. So now he's doing something different with it. And I'm pretty excited for him. We talk about our track, the one that we're starting. I'm assisting a couple gentlemen in trying to get off the ground here in Mississauga. Very excited about that. That's going to be an indoor track. Actually having a track night this coming Friday to try to do some more testing before we kind of open it up to the general RC populace. But we get into all sorts of things with Pablo up next. But before we jump in, let's talk about Reefs, shall we? So Reefs, it's October as we record this, early October, and October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Reefs has done something that I really like, and that I've seen in a lot of RC, I mean, not a lot, but a few RC manufacturers or, you know, brands have done similar things. But theirs really stood out to me. They do this really amazing pink servo. And I'm just trying to pull it up now because I want to get it right. But here it is. Yeah, so it's the limited edition Raw 500 pink. It's a beautiful servo. I'll put a picture of it on my Instagram at Big Papa Pop. Sorry, what's my Instagram? Let's check it out. You know, let's understand what our own Instagram handle is. It is at Big Papa Jaw, BigPopaJaw, at Big Papa Jaw. You can check out a photo of this Raw 500 there. I'll post it to Facebook. Don't laugh. There is a crazy following for RC on Facebook. So shout out to everybody who follows the Facebook activity. This limited edition, it goes for $235 Canadian. It ain't cheap, but you get what you pay for, right? And Reefs servos are incredible. This one, I believe, if I'm reading the website here, proceeds are going to breast cancer awareness. I don't know how much, if it's total or some, but this is a thing of beauty. And if you were ever, you know, if you're not one of those guys that walks, you know, does the breast cancer awareness walk or runs, or for, you know, maybe you can't, maybe, you know, you have health limitations. This is a great way to give back to that cause if it's near and dear to you. I wanted to give it a shout out. It's a beauty looking servo. I'll just read some of the specs for you. So we got It's fully programmable, pulse width modulation control. It's got steel gears, the CNC'd aluminum reefs case, which we've come to know and love. You're looking at about 500 ounces of torque at 7.4 volts. It's about 0.11 seconds at a 6 volt, 0.95 seconds. It's pretty quick. 25 tooth spline. It's capable. Let's just say that. Reefs does a lot of cool stuff. They have a 299 racing servo, a purple edition. It's only 173 Canadian, which is actually not bad. Again, you get what you pay for. If you got any TTO2 heads out there, it's a 0.7 second at 6 volt. It's a 0.6 second at 7.4 volt. And at 8.4, it's 0.057 seconds. So this is a very fast. I've had one of these. I'm kicking myself for ever letting it go. Fully programmable. Beautiful, capable, water-resistant servo. If you do TTO2, TTO1 racing outdoors, you can throw this in a buggy, high grip carpet or dirt. Anyways, big shout out to my boy Reefs. He's a great guy. We've had him on before. We'll have him on again, but I really wanted to give him a plug there. Check out his website. Check out his stuff for sure. All right, so on to where are my Canadians at? So when I first started in RC, I had the handle O Canada RC, and that was my podcast, and got away from it. Now I'm coming back to it a bit, and I've come back as Popjaw. There used to be a lot more Canadians active in RC. Now there are a lot, and I got to give props to the ones that you know and love. Notorious JRC, check him out. Huge Arma guy and great builder. Just did a really cool charity build with amazing RC stores. I got to give a shout out to Bash Bro RCs, Bash Bros RC. Local guy in, I think, sort of southwestern Ontario, who does some really fun bashing, building a bunch of guys that he's out there with his crew. I'm going to give a shout out to Pauly_G_RC, Paul Gagne on Instagram. A loyal follower, always has positivity, rains positivity down on my Instagram. Foxshot RC, you know who you are. Big shout out to you. I know you like your, maybe I'll give you a little bit of privacy, buddy. Peter_RC_Basher. Let's see, who else can I shout out that's heavy and active in the Canadian RC scene? I'll give a shout out to Mike Z or Mike Z. You know who you are. I can't wait to see you at the track, buddy. Scale Builders Guild, of course. These guys are the leaders, in my opinion. He is the leader, the man, the myth, the legend. We don't even have to give him much more of a plug than that. Tamiya Legends, not many people know. He's actually based in Canada, so big shouts to him. And I'll pick two more here. I guess my point was kind of off from the top. There are quite a few. Phoenix Race, RC Raceway, big shout out to them as well. There's a lot of Canadians out there. And if I've missed you, I apologize. This is not a full roll call of everybody, but I want to see more. You know, we have a lot to give, a lot of unique environments up here for running cars mostly. It's building. The scene is growing. There's a new track coming to Barrie, Ontario. It's going to be a clay indoor track, which is so amazing. The closest other indoor tracks are, I believe, there's one in Niagara and there's one in Ottawa. So it's nice to see that. If our track gets off the ground, that'll be, I'd say, a solid 6 to 10 tracks within the greater Toronto area. So it's nice to see the establishments happening, but it's also really cool to see those individual builders and people that are really into this hobby and just are passionate about it. So I know a lot of people are against social media. I'm on the fence with it, but I think you can share your builds without giving away too much of your information if that's what you're worried about. But, you know, share your picks, share your builds, share your, you don't have to put your face on camera, but, you know, let's build this Canadian RC community a bit more. Let's get inspiration from around the world, not just the United States, where it's very strong, but yes, the United States. Let's look to Europe and Australia. They have very strong RC populations there as well. And I'd love to see that continue to build. If you are, pardon me, in RC and you are in Canada, give me a shout out. Drop me a comment. Let me know. Love to have you on the podcast and talk a bit more. All right. It's indoor season. Last point I want to make here. What does indoor season mean for you? You know, for a lot of people, it's on-road racing, off-road racing. For others, it's a build season, right? Where you're building, rebuilding, tearing down and rebuilding gearboxes and all sorts of fun stuff. Leave me a comment. Let me know what it means to you. I would love to know what build season or off season means for you. For those of you that have an off season, for those lucky devils that live in Florida or California or the lower United States where you don't have a bad outdoor season, I'm jealous. But for those of us that have snow and cold, very inclement weather, you know, what does that look like for you? For my friends in Australia, we know your seasons are flipped. What does your off season look like? I'd love to hear. I'd love to have that perspective from around the world. So for sure, hit me up at Big Papa Jaw on Instagram or hit me up on Facebook. Just search up Pop Jaw. You'll find me and leave me a comment. Let me know. I'll put a post there so you can add your comments after listening to this. Okay. Now the moment you've all been waiting for. We're going to switch over to a earlier recorded conversation between Pablo Guerrero, aka RC Amigo, and Pablo's great new podcast, Taco About RC. Give it a listen if you hadn't. It's on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcasts. Let's get into this convo, and I'll see you on the flip side for Tarps Off.
Jeff.
And there it is.
What are we talking about?
What aren't we talking about, brother?
Should we just hop right in?
We should just try to like keep like pushing through each other's faces here.
Over and over and over.
Okay. Like, so you know what though? It's funny because that's Marshawn Lynch, right?
Absolutely. Beast okay. mode. Come on.
I'm not a big NFL guy. I know. I'm a disappointment already.
Well, hey, I appreciate hockey, but I don't watch it as much as I should.
There you go. But I know who the players are. And like, so if he said it 17 times, it seems like he's the kind of guy like that's how many times exactly he needs to say to make the point. And I'd be like, yes. Yeah. Like if he said it 16 times, I'd be like, no.
I just like the final takeaway. I'm not going to repeat it completely, but yeah. Maybe I'll post it. But it was like, oh my gosh, that's pretty much. It's funny because I forgot something like that came up in our family, like a family dinner, and I was like, well, then go and do it. Like, right? You know, just very, very matter of fact, like that. Like, don't give up. Like, what are you talking about? Like.
So like for listeners, I'm sure, I don't know. Is that a famous clip of him? Like, is that a recent interview?
Recent interview, I think, okay. But not super famous.
Check it out. Anybody listening? Cause I think we just jumped in here, but yes, it'll change your life.
It's those words of wisdom, as they say, the more, you know,
and it's funny because you and I, we talk about like the whole coaching thing, not to get too heavy into it right now, but
yeah,
I wish I could just sit my kid down and stare at him in the face and just say that to him. And he'd be like, I get it. And then just go out and go through somebody.
I know. Right. I know. Well, I was explaining that I had a conversation with someone about homework the other day and they didn't think homework was a necessity. And I was like,
I'm going to guess it wasn't your wife.
No. Well, you know, but the thing is, it's funny because our school does homework, right? Right. I said there's different ways about looking at homework. And I said, you go to our school for a reason. And mm-hmm. I go, in sports, when you're working out or when you're drilling, one of the one of the sayings is do one more, right? Do one more because your opponent's not doing that much. Yeah. And if you think your opponent's doing it, then do one more. And so that's the way I think our school kind of approaches it. And when it comes to homework, and it's, you know, and I'm like, it's not for everyone, but it's kind of training them to do one more. And that's the way, you know, and that's the way I feel about it. And I'm like, so if my kids want to do one more and be academic people, that wasn't for me, but it's like, hey, if I can help them do that, that's going to be what's up.
Yeah. So. You know, I mean, it's so true, right? Like, so last night I was at the rink. There's a likely way for a Canadian to start a conversation. Yeah. So last night I was at the, it's almost like you don't have to say it, right? It's like the sun came up today. Right. So at the rink. My son started. He's on a new team this year. He played his second game. They're undefeated in two games, which is a good start. Sure. But on that point, like about doing reps and working hard on your skills, all that good stuff. There's a kid on our team who's there's no other way to describe him. He's a man child.
Yeah.
Like he's a big boy.
Yeah.
His name, I'll just give a first name, but his name is Oboise.
Nice.
And Oboise.
Oboise rules.
Oboise can shoot. Oboise can shoot the puck harder than I can. And I'm not even exaggerating.
Wow. Like,
when he lets it go from the point, like from the blue line, it's thunder. Mostly because he most times misses the net. But yeah. And it smashes off the boards. But it's funny, right? With kids like that. And I don't really know where I'm going with this, but maybe you can help me. Kids like that are big, physically strong, kind of gifted, athletic. As adults, we kind of look at them and go, you're in your head, your expectations are like ridiculous, right? Because you think the size, it means maturity, doesn't. So last night, anyways, long story short, Oboise had a great game. And the kids come out as their first win. They tied their first game. They won this one. And they come on the ice and they, you know, it's customary to like swarm your goalie without injuring him. And then my son, I'm watching him. He goes up to Oboise and he pats him on the, and he reaches up and he pats him on the helmet. And I'm looking from the stands. I'm like, okay, that looked promising. Right. Sure. Maybe. So we're driving home, the famous drive home after sports. And I go, how was it on the ice after? How was the change room after? He's like, and he just goes, Dad, I went up to Oboise. And I said, you had a great game, man. You just keep that up. Because Oboise, again, to go back to that point about parents looking at kids and going, yeah, that kid's going to be good. Uh-huh. He can get thrown off his game real quick. Like a lot of us, right? Just something doesn't go right. Head down, body language slumps.
Yep.
So I was proud moment to see Rye go up and like say, hey, man, good job. And yeah, just had to get that off my chest.
No, that's good, man. Because that's something that I think a lot of us forget about. So we'll keep it in the sports vein for a couple more, but the our team, it's funny, actually, I had that to talk about on mine, and so we're just going to talk about it now. So our team got blown out for soccer, right? And we have a new coach. I don't know. Have I talked to you about the coaching on this team?
I've heard about soccer, but not the coaching specifically.
Okay. So it's a new coach. And I applauded him at the beginning because he's 18. It's a senior year kind of a thing. And he's coaching this nine-year-old soccer team. And this, you could tell the coach is a stud, right? You could tell he's like, because he's playing like premier soccer and high school soccer. Like, wow. He's just a stud when it comes to the sport. And so I appreciate that. Right.
Yeah.
But I think what people don't believe is just because you're good or don't know is that just because you're good doesn't mean that the 14 other kids around you are going to be good. Meaning as a coach, just because you know what you're talking about doesn't mean you can teach it to these kids. And so I think he was struggling a little bit. And at the beginning of the season, it was a little inconsistent because his dad's helping out. So like, he wouldn't be there, but his dad would. And it's like, you know, in coaching, you have to establish dominance and hierarchy instantly.
Yeah.
As soon as they walk on to the ice, to the pitch, to the dirt, like you're like, I'm number one, he's number two, but we do it as a team. This is how we go. Right. Like that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And so I think that kind of, you know, the kids today have struggled with that all over the place, no matter if it's sports or in the classroom or whatever. And so I think the discipline is tough. And so we got our asses handed to us. I mean, it was like 9-0 or in soccer, they would say 9-0.
Right.
It was not pretty. We had some really flash in the pan, like really good flashes of our goalkeeper is great. And the 9 shots that he let go by, well, we changed out goal keeps like halfway through, but I think he probably only let 4 go by, but there must have been like 20 shots on goal. Wow.
So
he was smoking. He was doing good, but you know, that's why we had to pull him, because he was like, dude, I'm getting annihilated out here. But anyhow, so the coach after the game, there was no post meeting or anything like that. He just went to his car. And then he sent a message out saying, hey, I'm sorry, I went to the car. It was my first time, blah, 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 you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was good because it's like he owned up to it. So he was accountable for it, which in sports you have to be.
For sure.
But, you know, I was talking to his mom at practice and I was like, you know, it's just the kind of thing where you have to identify that. And you and I go, the first time I had a losing season, it was like a kick in the nuts for me because I literally like, I came off of having like six state, like going to state championship seasons. And then I had a losing season and I'm like, you know, every which way I'm looking, I'm like, what's going wrong? Like, you know, and it's like, sometimes the kids just aren't geared up for it.
Yeah.
But then it's, you have to understand like how to dial that in. Right. Like, it's like a car, like it's, you got to dial it in. And so I started asking, I was like, you know, do they do like, and there's different coaching styles, and I'm sure you see it in all sports. Like there's a coaching style that micro does all the micro drills and understands the footwork and understands the handwork and the positioning and like, and then it gets put together in game day.
Yeah.
And then there's the coaching style that is like nothing but scrimmages and they kind of work it out through game day.
Yeah.
Which they both can be successful, but it depends on the coach, right?
For sure.
Because if you got a coach that comes unglued and all you're doing is scrimmaging and you can't have the patience to fix it in the game, then it's a recipe for disaster.
You know, it's 2 points. The walk from the sidelines in your case or the walk from the bench in my case is very short. And if a game's gone sideways, you got to start thinking about what your demeanor and your approach in the middle of, in hockey, in the middle of the third period, in soccer, you know, by the middle of the second half or three quarters way through the second half, right? You have to start, and it's not easy, right? Like you've coached. It's something that you kind of have to, I know the first few times you can go, oh shit, what am I going to say? Oh wait, the game's done and we got smoked. Uh-oh, what do I do?
How much can I yell?
Am I going to yell or do I just walk in and say very little or do I just say nothing or do I hand it to my assistant coach? Because that's a good tactic sometimes too. I find with the older kids, like I've walked into our my daughter's change room and said a few words and then leave. And after a particularly challenging game, and as I'm walking out, some of the girls are going, oh, where's coach? And I'm like, no, I'm talking to you today.
That's it.
But it's funny because we have a similar situation with our hockey team right now. It's interesting. Some of the girls are older, so they have some concerns. I'm not going to get into details because I don't know who listens, you know, to this, but they have some concerns and I've challenged them. I've gone back to my daughter and said, hey, get together with some of the teammates that you think are articulate and talk about it and have a players meeting and then come back to us and let us know what you want to do.
Yeah.
How you want to solve this problem.
Right.
I like that with the older kids. You can't do that with a 12-year-old boy, but
no. Yeah. The older kids definitely, because they understand that they can take take coaching to right the ship. Like they understand that they can be like, okay, what are we doing wrong? Cause they can see from a team aspect that, you know, they're looking for the outside in kind of a thing.
100%.
And it's funny too, because like the parents, so we had picture day yesterday. Right. And so my wife was doing something with my daughter. So I was on the field only with my son and I'm sitting there and I'm not a schmoozer. Like I wouldn't say I'm quiet when it comes to this kind of environment, but I speak when spoken to kind of a thing. Right. So I'm sitting there and I'm just kind of like by myself and watching the boys kind of like screw around and I'm watching all these teams just like, okay, so two things. So first, I'm a very like observant person. Right. So like I can sit there and close my eyes in an environment and just hear everything going on. Right. It's like one of those weird movies where you just hear like the crickets' legs moving slowly. And then like all that kind of stuff. Right.
It's somebody brushing their hand over the cornfield.
Totally. Yeah, totally. And I'm totally that way where, so I'm sitting here and I'm just kind of staring off into space. Right. And I'm listening to this conversation of these three moms talking. And I'm like, because of our, they were talking about the game and they were just like, you know, upset that the team kept on scoring. And I'm like, it's only 9-0. I'm sitting in my head. I'm like, who cares? Like, if we're not good enough, well, then that's not their problem. That's our problem. You know? Right. And I'm sitting here listening to this and they're like, well, they should have passed it 5 times before they scored if it was already 4-0, you know, and the goal. And then we had like a PK against us and they were already up like 5 or 6-0. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, it's like, that's just sports, you know, whatever. But I'm sitting here listening to it and I'm like, let's not coddle these kids. And then, and then I'm like listening and all the kids are sitting around and imagine like between like 5-year-old soccer all the way on up to 14-year-old soccer maybe. And kids just screwing around, like booting the ball hard into the goal and kids walking across the path. And I'm sitting here and I'm looking around and I'm like, is no one going to do anything about this? Like I'm a disciplined guy when it comes to team. Right. Yeah. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, I'm starting to get that, like that heightened sense of like, I'm going to yell at someone. Twitching. Like I'm good. Oh man. And so I'm sitting there and I'm watching this and this, and then sure enough, a kid, guess what? He turns around and gets blasted in the face by
sure,
a kid, right? And he's just shaking it off. And I'm sitting here instantly. I'm like, that kid's concussed. There's no question about it. The ball is going easily 40 miles an hour straight to his dome, like straight to his face, not just blindsided. And I'm like, that kid's concussed. Like there's no question about it, right? And so I'm sitting here and I'm just watching it and I'm like, when did it like go away that you couldn't yell at other people's kids and that you couldn't like we went on a field trip the other day and we got there before the teacher did and the kids were kind of like running amok in front of the school and I was like, hey, everyone line up against the wall, right? And then everyone goes and lines up against the wall and the parents are looking at me like, the new parents that don't know me, you know, they're looking at me like, who is this guy? And I'm just like, that's all it takes. And they're quiet. Yeah. And they sit against the wall. You can let them talk, but just yell at people. Like, come on.
I know. I hear you, bud. It's okay. Cause it's okay. It's like, it's,
I know. I don't get it.
I'm trying to be a little more like you described yourself at a game, just quiet. I'm the opposite. Like I'm not the annoying guy that's loud and annoying, but I've been known to say some things loudly and it's mostly encouragement, like in between whistles, for example, I'll be like, come on boys, keep moving the feet like this, or you know, I'll throw a hand signal in there once in a while.
You're like, hey zebra, adjust your thong.
Yeah,
like,
hey ref, we got a hot date later. Or if the ref's blowing his whistle too much, I'm like, what flavor's that whistle, strawberry or chocolate? Does he seem to like it?
Anyways, oh man,
yeah, I hear you, man. It's a struggle, buddy. Like, cause you know the whole like being able to get kids in line and at this age, at the age we're talking, like 12, 13, 14, like. If you're at a certain level of competitiveness, there's, in my opinion, there's not a lot of room for screwing around. There's room for fun, but there's not a lot of room for screwing around. It's going to end somebody.
Yeah. Well, and you know, my thing was I always was like, let's have fun at practice. And then when we're on the field, like my kids, when they walked onto the field, their cleats were polished, their shirts were tucked in and their hats were forward. I was like, and if I saw a kid that walked into the up to the dugout that was untucked and his hat was sideways, I'd be like, take a lap. And while you're doing it, tuck in your shirt and turn your hat forward. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just like, we're here to win.
Yeah.
And we're here to be gentlemen. And we're not here to just be like.
In a fashion show, man.
Yeah. And we're representing our city. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like. 100% when we played, I was like, we're representing our city.
Buddy, like, that's it's a little bit of a nightmare fuel there. It's a bad segue.
Let's do it. It's getting the nightmare fuel. I like it.
So this is new. I heard you plug this and I was laughing my ass off because you told me that story about the spider. If anybody hasn't heard Pablo's latest talk about, he gets into some I was impressed by how brave you were. Like, I would scream and run away, like, no towel, like, if a spider like that was on my shoulder. But nightmare fuel, man. What do we say this was going to be? We forget. Like, this was, like, just those things that keep us up at night.
Yeah, or the things that really, like, I don't know, freak us out, or, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's things that, you know, we're scared about doing or whatever.
Yeah.
You want to go first or you want me to go?
If you got one, I think I got some, but if you're ready, if you're
primed. Well, I'll prime you. So talk about kid stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how often you go to movie theaters or how often you watch YouTube.
YouTube a lot more, yeah.
It drives me crazy when we're watching something like Dude Perfect and then all of a sudden The Exorcist comes on and it's like someone's head exploding for a commercial. And I'm like, wait a minute.
That's
like
a good one.
You know, and I'm sitting there and I don't remember what movie it was I took Dalton to. Dalton's not he is not a Halloween person. He does not like it. He is like being spooked out or anything like that.
Yeah.
And we were at a movie theater and it was for like, I don't know, some terrible movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some kids movie, you know, and we're watching it and it's like, they have that's what it was. They have a movie coming out. That's like some guy goes to like a Chuck E. Cheese. Do you guys have a Chuck E. Cheese or something like that?
We got Chuck E. Cheese. Oh yeah.
So he goes to that pizza's and then fantastic. all the animatronics are haunted and try to kill the kid. Right.
Oh, it's the bear. Isn't it that one with the bear?
Yeah, yeah.
Five Nights at Freddy's or something. Bro,
so that movie comes on like a kid's movie. And I'm just like, what's the movie theater thinking? Like, I almost went to the movie theater just to say something. Like,
yeah.
Because I know the guy there and I know it's just pre-done computerized stuff, whatever. Yeah, but I'm like, you know, you guys might want this because this has happened more than once. So I'm like, you know, you might want to scream that, you know?
similar. Like we have a TV and it's got Roku. Do you have the Roku down there?
Yeah.
So we got the Roku player and whatever. And when you turn on the TV, it shows the menu and then what they start doing is they push ads to the bottom corner and it's like, oh, check this out. And so The Exorcist popped up there and it wasn't just like the words, The Exorcist. It was like the reboot. It was like the girl's head turned backwards on the screen staring at me. And Ryan was there with me and I scramble for the thing to turn it on. And he's like, Dad, what are you? So this is funny because unless he wasn't freaked out. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? I'm like, that's disturbing. Didn't you find that disturbing? He's like, oh, whatever. I don't care. I'm like, now I'm going to be up all night, right? Like, I'm not going to be able to go down and get the slice of salami and chunk of cheese I want at 2 a.m. I'm afraid now.
Yeah.
I hate that, man. It's my daughter was born the day before Halloween. And I'm not even making that up for the segment. It's just kind of perfect.
Nice.
So she likes all that. Like, she likes the creepy stuff. And I think it's just an excuse. So when she's, you know, another year older, she can have a Halloween party.
Sure.
That's nightmare fuel in itself. Teenage Halloween party. But she'll come down. Like today I'm working from home and I'm trying to like get started and she pops it on and she, the Boogeyman's on Netflix. I go, what the hell's that? Right. And she's like, no, it's supposed to be really good. And she turns it on and it's the opening scene. I'm not even going to describe it, but I'm just like, can you go not watch that somewhere else? Like,
I know,
bro. I agree with you. I'm not big on when you mentioned that on your podcast. I'm not big on the gore and the really close, like the really real kind of stuff, right? Like, that stuff is just there's a line, man.
Yeah. It's a little disturbing, but you know, what do you do about it? You know,
my nightmare fuel. Oh, here's a good one. So I got one now. So we talked about sports in it. My nightmare fuel is one of my kids has an away game and it's like, say, an hour drive and a half an hour in, I get this wave of anxiety wash over me and I look at my kid and I go, did you put your jersey back in the bag?
Oh, no.
And I can't tell you how many times irrationally I've pulled over put the hazards on, pop the trunk, and rifle through the bag like a madman to make sure an elbow pad wasn't missing or something silly. And there's no basis in fact for it. It's just like this fear that
leaving the garage door open, right? Oh. Like
Home Alone 2.
Yeah.
Right. That gets me, man. That's the scariest thing in the world for me. And I think it's just because I'm like, I don't want my kid to be that kid when they get to the rink. Cause like, anybody got an extra elbow pad? Like,
yeah. You know? Yeah. No, I get that. I totally get that. And, and you know, it's funny because I get that when it comes to work.
Yeah.
So like when I go and do an install or something like that, you know, it's like I work a month on this project and I'm loading the truck full of tools and, you know, bits and pieces of this project. And I'm like, what did I forget? And sometimes, sometimes it's across town, sometimes it's across the state.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I've gotten to the point now where I'm like, well, we're going to wing it. You know what I mean? Like if something happens, like that's why I get paid. Like,
MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly. But no, it's funny because I remember that happened this last summer. We were headed to the track, and the track for us is, it's funny, it's literally like 9 minutes away from my house, right? For the outdoor track. Nice. And I'm cruising there and I'm like, shoot, I'm thinking of, because we generally take a lot of cars, right? Because there's the crawling course and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, did I bring? And so sure enough, I'm calling my wife. I'm like, hey, can you go downstairs and look in on this shelf, this slot?
And you know she's loving this call.
I know. She's like, really? Like,
I'm looking for your RC stuff that you left behind.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. And you know, it's like for the radio, right? And I'm like, is that radio in the truck? And then sure enough, I pull over and it's like, before Dalton's even out of his seatbelt, I'm jumping out, looking through the back of the box. Oh, okay, here it is. Okay.
Yeah. She's already thrilled that you left the honey-do list on the counter to go play with your RCs.
I know.
Now she's got to look for some thing she could care less about. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I was going to ask you what your RC nightmare fuel was. That's a big, I've left batteries at home, like for races. Like tires that like gone with like the wrong, like, or just one set of tires or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a bad one. Cause you're jacked, right? You're jacked to go. You're like 2 days before.
Yeah.
You're adults probably like pumped.
Yeah.
All right. And then you're there and you're like, oh no.
Yeah.
There's exactly. The day. Yeah. That's a tough one, man.
Exactly.
I like it.
So along the lines of RC.
Shoot. Yeah.
Let's transition into RC now we got some track stuff to talk about. We got some setup stuff.
Yeah.
That I have questions about. So let's talk about, I know you've got some track stuff. I'll lob up a softball for you and talk about mine really quick before we go into yours.
Oh, good.
I think yours is a little bit more detailed, but I'm trying to set up, we talked about this rally offline. Like we talked about my rally course that I'm setting up.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of space in the backyard. I mean, more than I have a track that's, when I say a track, I think people think of like OCR.
They think you got a driver stand. Yeah.
I know. It's like, no, it's not really like that. And it's funny because it kind of felt that way at the beginning when I first started doing it. But now that we're like better drivers and we're driving faster cars and we're actually technical now, it's like, it's not that at all. It's like a little pit in the backyard. But so we're setting up. I figured we'd probably get more mileage out of it if we turned it into a rally course.
Yeah.
Like a rally cross course.
Yeah, man.
But I'm struggling because I don't know if I've got enough room. But then I also was like, well, maybe I went out and measured it last night. And so I've got 36-inch lanes in places.
Yeah.
In some places it's narrower. Some places it's a little fatter. And I'm like, you know, maybe that just is going to make us a better driver to pass when we can.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that to me when we were talking about this offline and I was like, well, maybe go for 4 feet. And then I'm thinking about what you're saying. And if you're doing kind of that rally cross style, like the 2x2, like two cars, that could make it really, really exciting. Cause to your point, if you're, you know, sliding around a corner, you really got to control the vehicle and, you know, do you dip down low and try the high low or like, I think that could be a lot of fun. Like, yeah, especially if you're going with like two cars, I think it's really good. That's a really good width.
Okay. So that makes me feel better about it.
I'm thinking about it. Like, if you have too much space, then where's the fun, right? Like, where's the challenge?
It's called the pucker factor. That's what we call it. That's what I want, you know. And I'm thinking about, like, I saw one of the jumps we built and I was like, man, that is narrow. And it's, you know what was awesome though? So last night I had Dalton go out with me and we surveyed the track, meaning we measured it because I was going to start cutting the barriers for it and stuff like And so he's actually giving me input on what he thinks is a drivable track, which was awesome. So I'm like, so what do you think about this ramp? And he goes, it's narrow, Dad. And I was like, yeah. And I go, what do you think? You think you can hit it? And he goes, yeah, we can hit it. He goes, but I think he actually used the term door to door. If he said he'd be door to door if we tried to go over it together. And I was like,
And you're whipping your phone out and hitting record. Can you see? That's awesome.
Like, yeah. So I'm pumped about that.
Go ahead. I was going to say Andre Scale Metal Supplies was showing me a track he's putting together in his backyard too.
Yes.
Yeah.
His is nice and carved in too. So yeah. It'll be fun. I think we can kind of like get this like resurgence of rally going and show it in a different light.
It's cool because with our place, I've been talking about a track space. I haven't talked to you since we went the first night. Mm. It's like an industrial mall and it's really in the middle of nowhere. Uh-huh. And it's about 60 to 70 feet long by about, I don't know, 50 feet wide space.
That is a great space.
It's not a massive track when you look at it. So what it is a place that rents out a basketball court for guys to go and train and play. Mm-hmm. And the guy's been looking for extra tenants at odd hours to fill the space. Mm. Well, hello, we're in RC. We're all about our odd hours.
Yeah.
So one of these guys I met, this guy, Mark, is just kind of like met the guy. The guy's all into it. He's given us the space. He's even talking to the guy about maybe partnering with him to like let us kind of have it more permanently. And then we can tear the track down pretty easy. We've built some jumps out of, those cinder tubes, that construction tubes. I forget what they're called.
Sonotubes.
Yes. We've used those and cut them in half.
Nice.
And just kind of doing it really strong Velcro, like that sort of, and again, you'll know the names for these, but there's sort of like it's like a craft board. It's almost like a compressed wood, but it's very thin. It's like
maybe like a mason.
Yeah. I like so far, kids, the keywords are sonotubes and masonite.
We need to do like $100 or $100,000 pyramid or whatever that show is called.
It's like round and it's made of sonotubes. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, man. I love it. And so anyways, we did that. We've got a triple. We've got a tabletop, believe it or not.
Nice.
We found some carpet online, really cheap. And a buddy of mine who I kind of know through our on-road outdoor series, the TTO2s, I reached out to him and said, hey, buddy, you want to come out and try this out? Because we're trying to get guys in. We're not trying to blow the doors off it right now because we're not quite set up.
Right.
Want to come in? Here's what we're doing. You know, it's, you know, bring your TTO2. Let's check it out. He's like, I really wish I could this weekend. I can't. And then all of a sudden he goes, Would you have any use for, and I believe I'm going to get this term right, Ozite carpet? I go, pardon? He's got, so catch this is wild. Out of the blue, because we were looking for carpet to floor the whole space and then use some maybe turf for the jumps on top.
Sure.
Out of the blue, he's got two rolls of 10 by 60 feet of black Ozite carpet. And
how did he come across like
his buddy? So his friend, I guess, wanted to put them in his basement. I don't know how big this guy's basement was, and have his own track, and it never panned out. And he's got these rolls in his basement now.
Wow.
And he's like, you guys can just take them. He goes, you know, if you want to give me, like I said, well, we want to give you something for them. Like, what do you think? And he's like, just use them and we'll figure it out later. And I'm like, bro, like, to start, you could come for free anytime you want to the space.
Yeah.
Right. If you give us, so we're picking them up on Monday. Really stoked. And so it's starting to really come together, man. Like, I'll send you and I'll post it maybe to my Instagram. This guy's also the guy that's kind of fronting a lot of the cost for it. We're trying to help him out a little bit. Mm-hmm. We're trying to keep costs down, but he's designed a track. And this kind of comes full circle to the rally thing. It is an off-road track intertwined with an on-road track.
What? Please so, tell me you're going to do the same, do them both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
You're going to have two heats going at the same time.
I think we could practice. I think for races it would be, because we have one timing system, so we probably couldn't do them.
Yeah.
But the way he's laid it out, I'm going to send it to you. I think you're going to like it. It's like he's got jumps going over the on-road track. He's got like things going underneath tabletop. Like it is a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think it's, he's complicated, but I think it's doable, man. So like this Friday coming up the 13th, we're going to go out again and, we'll keep trying to set it up here to a point where we can maybe get like an open house night, just a night where guys can come out. We're trying to do it every 2 weeks in the evening. So it's not like we're going nuts. So it's keeping everybody happy at home. And yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah, man.
Dude, that's awesome. So we'll see. That's something that I think could be, you know, that's the hardest thing. That's the hardest thing is getting like the Swiss Army knife of things, right? Like I always run into that problem. I just did a track, like a podcast track yesterday or the day before for this one coming up that mm-hmm. was talking about trying too hard for Swiss Army, like meaning like my builds and stuff like that. I try to make them competitive or not competitive, but like very capable, but make them trail rigs and all that, you know, it's like just go one way and go. But when it comes to the track, that's a whole other thing because you want to be able to scratch the itch on a couple different things. And that's, you know, like with this rally setup, the other half of this rally setup that I didn't mention is that the way it's designed for us now is that the whole infield would be rocks again.
Yep.
And then we could crawl in the infield and set up, you know, gates and stuff like that. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
But you know, it's a small space, but I think it would probably be really good for like 18 scale.
Yeah.
The thing that dies that's hard for us is that the monster truck stuff dies in our backyard.
Mm.
And so we're like, but we're faster now than we used to be. So, so you know, there's like, it's kind of, but that's also, that adds to the pucker factor in our backyards that we're so fast and the cars are so big when it's the monster trucks. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe the monster trucks too, like you can. I don't know what you guys got around you, but
yeah, we have a park across the street.
Yeah.
So we could take some ramps out there and run them over there.
Speaking of monster trucks, did you see that new sort of super cheap monster truck that came out from Arma?
I did.
You could go to?
I did.
What'd you think of that?
I think it's a great starter car for someone getting into that hobby. Or getting into the hobby. I think it's really good. I think it's a great like entry for someone getting into it. Mm-hmm. Arma is very notorious for having fantastically strong vehicles.
Right.
And so a two-wheel drive brushed rig, I can't imagine that thing would be like, I mean, I can imagine that it's going to be very difficult to break. It looks pretty fun. It looks like it's a stampede kind of killer. You know what I mean? The Traxxas Stampede.
Honestly, man. Yeah. Like it kind of looked like you could, like most Arma things, you could drive it through a brick wall.
100%. Yeah.
The modular pieces, right? Like with your drivetrain and your everything popping out just with kind of sliding, shifting components that come out. Like, I think that's the thing I like about Arma. Like, to your point, it's a great starter rig, and somebody could take that out and just bash the crap out of it and have a lot of fun with it. But it's cheap enough that it gets you in. So Traxxas is good for getting you in, but they're still high on the, you know, on the high end for, you know, base slash or something. Like,
yeah,
this is different, man. Like, it gets you in, and then maybe a year later it gets you onto another rig, right?
I didn't see how much they want for it. I'm assuming it's probably in the mid 200s.
Yeah,
it could be completely wrong.
I'll jump on them in front of the computer here. Let's see.
I forget. The one I really like is the Forest Mojave.
Oh, buddy.
That's the one I like. I'm like,
that's a lot of car.
I started talking to someone about trying to sell maybe our two Nomads to get one of those. Yeah. Just because they're getting harder to get for parts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, how long do I want to?
It's a good point, but it's so tough. Like, I heard you talking about that because it's such an amazingly fun class, right? And like the U4, and just, I don't know if we'll ever see another like class of trucks like that. Like, it's so niche. It's almost like, do you want to let go of it? Cause it's one of those pieces that you have on your shelf and you're like awesome.
Yeah.
But, right, great conversation piece. But if you can't get parts for it, then that's, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, I think other people like to collect. I'm not a collector, really. I'm a driver. So us, it's like, I think I could let that go. Dude, there you see I just pulled it up. Did you see how much they want for it?
Is
ridiculously cheap.
It doesn't even say.
It's $139.
Yeah. US.
US.
Which is $600 Canadian. But
$139. I had no idea it was that cheap.
Is that the one with the battery and the charger?
No. The one with the battery and the charger is $169.
Yeah, it's like $30. That was the thing I heard. Like, for another $30.
It's a NIM battery. It's not a
repo. That's fine. Hey, man, if I was if I was 10 and my dad got me that as my first RC, yeah, thank you very much.
Okay, so I mean, maybe I should talk to Arma and be like, Arma, let me be your spokesperson as a dad, because if I was going to spend $200 on a Christmas present and get them something that I could get outside with and that I could spend time with, or spend $400 on an iPad, I'm spending $200 all day on this RC car. And I'm buying two of them so we can go out and race.
You're damn right.
You know what I'm saying?
How much fun is that, right?
Yes. I mean, seriously, come on, honestly, guys. Like, that's that price point is like, come on. When you look at the ability of, like, and I know not all kids and dads are together that way, but it's like, let's do that versus like send the 100%. Kid to the corner with their head pinned down into this
100%.
Stupid thing. And,
and you know what? Let's sell them together. Let's get start. Like, I get the economics of that's probably not great, but
have a, like two, a two pack,
truck,
two
truck pack with like one charger, two batteries, and do something special with the price.
Oh, yes. You know what I mean?
Like, come on. Like, I hear you. Like, I don't know how big, I would love to know how big their market is for like that age or that scenario, like dads and their sons or dads and their daughters.
Well, I think that they don't, that's the problem.
They don't know.
Here comes my soapbox.
Somebody get my soapbox. Bring it over here.
Oh my goodness. Come on. Let's go. So that's the problem with RC right now, is that it's there's no more Tyco commercials. There's no more Radio Shack commercials. There's no more. And I understand why, because the kids are consuming their media other ways.
Yeah.
But guess what? Throw some dang run the dang ball, brother. Coach. Like, you know, like throw, you brother. Gotta throw. I'm not done, Jeff. You gotta throw these commercials out on YouTube, on TikTok, on whatever, and make them commercials. Like, don't make them these influencer videos that are really cool to watch. Make them commercials. Say,
preach.
$169, or say, you know, 220 for two pack, one, two batteries, one charger. Let's go. Like, that's going to get the kids like, hey, dad, hey, mom, we could get two of these. Let's go. And it's cheaper than an iPad. Say it's cheaper than a dang iPad. Get outside.
It really gets the people going.
Oh, my goodness.
I agree, man. Can I speak now?
Yes, okay? You may. Go.
This is a new Pablo, everybody. I like it. I like it.
It's like my 30 ounces of coffee this morning.
Big gulp of caffeine.
Yes, sir.
No, I agree. And dust off the old Tamiya commercials, the one that I saw on my feed today where I was like, I wanted what they were selling it, even though it was 40 years old. Like, yes. Make it experiential. I don't want to see some dingbat telling me what he thinks about the color and the softness of the tie. Like, just drive the thing and tell me how much fun it is and why I need to have fun. Like, make it experiential for me. Like, show me what my life could be.
Yeah. You know what? Maybe I'm going to do that. if I get that associated van, maybe I'm going to make a full-on commercial.
Make a commercial. You should.
And then just post it and put the price on it and say, boom. You know, it's like, because I think that's just got to, like, do people got to see it.
Do it and send it to them and use, like, cheesy early 90s kind of techno-electronic music underneath. And throw, like, starbursts through the whole thing. Like, on your face, like, quick zoom-ins on your face.
Pow,
like, like,
wear a power glove and do a thumbs up.
And then you could have, like, those, I don't know what those super cool sunglasses are, the Vipers. You put some Vipers on, and that is a zoom-in, and then you just tilt them down and go, and you don't even say anything. You just nod your head.
You know, it's funny. I was looking to get a Pit Viper because Dalton he should be a Pit Viper rep, right? Like so I was like, I talked to them. They're like, you have to send in, if you want to do this, you have to send in a VHS tape, put together of like a commercial for your, what's it called? Your application. And I was like, a VHS tape? And then just by chance, my neighbor kid, he's like 17. Yeah, I know. My neighbor kid's 17. He comes walking home with this big VHS camcorder. And I'm like, son, I need to rent that from you.
Son, can you point me to the wormhole you just came through?
I know.
I'm apparently back in the 80s.
I know. But that's what I got to do now. Now I got to make a commercial with his VHS camcorder. That's
awesome.
I should just buy it off him and be like, hey, how much does that cost? And just give him like $20 more and be like, there you go. You can rent it from me. Oh my goodness. Was that a good enough soapbox, Jeff?
Yeah, buddy. It was awesome. I got to finish this meeting. Okay. We'll see, buddy. Sorry.
This is dad time. Sorry.
Yeah. I even put a sign out the door too that said, meeting in progress, do not enter. And they just like, kicked it aside.
Boom.
Oh my gosh. Actually, it was my son asking me if we could go fishing.
Ooh.
I'm like, daddy's work. Daddy's got some things to do. We'll see. The weather's still real nice up here. So it's
It's supposed to be 78 degrees, which is like 220 degrees your temperature or whatever it is. I don't know.
the conversion excellence on this program
dialed.
Is unlike anything I've ever experienced. Yes, it's true. About 250 degrees Celsius.
Yep.
No, last week the coolest temperature we had was 27 or 28, which is probably like high 80s.
That's bananas.
Yeah.
Well, it was weird October, for us because it rained torrentially for a week. Yeah. And then we started getting this, like, we started coming out of it. It's supposed to rain again on Monday, but we're supposed to have 78 degree weather Fahrenheit on tomorrow. That's cool.
Listen, buddy, that was a great soapbox. And I'm wondering if unless you got anything else burning a hole in your vocal cords, should we cap it there?
I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to end because we're 47 minutes in.
And 44 seconds.
So,
which is awesome because those are the best ones that you just look up and you're like, we've been talking for an hour.
I know.
That's awesome.
That was good. That was good.
Right, brother.
I like it. All right. Should we call it all out? Should we say, or should we just, for those that are in listening land, we're recording these and we're both double dipping and we're putting them on both of our things. So
damn skippy.
Yeah. So find Jeff on, is it Big Pop Jar or is it just Pop Jar?
So I'm going to plug you. You're going to plug me. So it's at Big Papa Jaw.
Big Papa Jaw.
At my Instagram at Big Papa Jaw. And then I'm on, it's Pop Jaw. The podcast is called Pop Jaw. It's on Spotify.
Okay.
And a bunch of other things. And then yours is Talk About RC.
It is Talk About RC. Yeah. And so our Instagram is just RC Amigos, but our actual Spotify and all that is Talk About RC. So
awesome. Check it out, guys. Check it out.
All right.
Arma, reach out to your boy Pablo. He's he's got a VHS recorder. He's ready to do a video. He's ready to do a commercial. Let's go.
I got my balloon pants that have tiger stripes on them. I'm ready to go.
Uh-oh. Here comes a Pablo.
There you go. Parachute pants. Here it comes.
All right. I got to go.
All right, brother. Have a good weekend.
You too. Hey, it's Thanksgiving up here, so I wish you a happy Canadian Thanksgiving. I know next weekend's yours, so.
Well, we got a month until ours. Come on.
Sweet mother.
Yeah, I know, right?
I really got to brush up on my American.
We got like 2 months, right? Until the end of November.
Now I got to go figure out the differences in Canadian and American holidays, currency and temperature.
There's got to be a calendar conversion table and a currency conversion table and a temperature conversion table.
I'm surprised we speak the same language, to be quite frank.
This is America.
All right, brother.
All right, man. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Later.
Later. I tell you what, listening to that just makes my heart glow. Me and Pabs have a lot of fun. I hope you guys enjoy the conversations that we have. The nonsense that comes out of our mouth holes is sometimes, I listen back sometimes and I shake my head and I feel very blessed to have met him. Just for the listeners too, we're recording thousands of miles away from each other. Imagine if either of us had a beer in our hands and we were in person. That could go off the rails really fast. Anyways, let's head over now into Tarps Off. And as I alluded to off the top, the NHL season is underway and the Toronto Maple Leafs, Toronto Maple Laughs, Toronto Maple Loafs, however you want to name them, are off to a perfect start, beating the Montreal Canadiens 6-5 in an epic shootout. Auston Matthews got a hat trick. Marner got the only shootout goal. It was a good start. It's exciting to see Ryan Reeves in there throwing his fists around already in game one. It's a long season and hopefully it's a prosperous one for the Buds. Pretty excited about that. There was some serious hockey news I wanted to get into around the NHL and their banning of, I believe, all on-ice support. So, for example, for different causes, I think. And I'm not wording that properly, but it was kind of upsetting because they basically said you can't have multicolor LGBTQ+ stick tape. And I was like, what? That's weird. Like, so I will watch the story as it develops throughout the year. But the PWHL, the Professional Women's Hockey League, spoke out about it, which was fantastic. And I would expect them to, in disagreement with the decision by the NHL. I don't understand why. There's a lot going on in this world right now. And to make a move like this doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. It's we need more love in this world. And I'm just going to say it. We need more love in this world. And banning stick tape is not a good step in the right direction towards increasing the love. So we'll watch this and see if the NHL holds firm to it. I got to believe they might be rethinking this one. Brian Burke, who I believe is now, I'm not sure his role. I think he's involved with Hockey Canada. He was vocal about it on social media. Of course, Brian's son is gay, and so his dad is extremely supportive of the LGBTQ plus community. And good for him for speaking up, because this is, in no uncertain terms, bullshit and a stupid move, in my opinion. We'll see what happens. We'll see where that goes. Maybe some teams will step up and say, screw you, league. We're going to do our own thing. But we'll see. Unfortunately, money talks in this world. So we'll keep tarps off short for now. And I think we're going to wrap this episode up, because you've been listening to me a lot. You listen to Pablo a lot. And we're just going to touch briefly on a philosophy when we talk about Dad Bod. So Dad Bod, as you may or may not know, is our segment where we talk about staying in shape, keeping up with our kids, and being our best versions of ourselves for our kids. I saw a really, really good quote on social media, again, the great evil, but we keep going back to it sometimes. And once in a while, we do see good things on social media. And this was, why we work out as dads. It's not, you know, we get to a certain age, I'm 47, you get to a certain age and your body, you realize it's not coming back to what it was when you were, say, 23. So what reasons do you have for working out and staying in shape or eating well or taking care of yourself? And really, the answer is simple. I want to be able to beat my kids in every venture that they try. I want to beat them in one-on-one basketball on the street. I want to beat my son in being able to throw a football further. I want to be able to score a bar down goal on him in street hockey or on the ice. I want to be able to skate faster than my daughter. And if I'm not doing my best to push myself to beat them, I'm not helping them continually learn. And I love this mentality, because it shows that if we don't work out as dads at a certain age, it's okay to not work out. It's okay just to let it go and say you're an old man. And that's not a good thing. I don't want my kids to think that at a certain age they can stop taking care of themselves physically or mentally. So I'm challenging myself, and yeah, I'm challenging you too to push yourself for that reason. You always want to beat them. It's such a great, when you think of it, it's such a great thing, because I can get a nice laugh in when I beat them in a sport or in a competition. But it's also such a good thing. You're pushing them harder and harder. And the great thing is, your kids are, as they grow, as you get into your, you know, the second half of your life here, as they grow, they're only getting stronger. You know, up until they're in their late 30s, they're just getting stronger and faster and smarter. Hopefully, you know, God willing, they're healthy and all that goes well. And if you can keep it up, if my kids are 30 right now, between my daughter and I, she's 15 and I'm 47. So 30 years, say 30 years difference. So when they're in their late 30s, I'll be in my late 60s. And if I can still, God willing, be around and keep pushing them into that point in my life, I can sit back and go, I did a solid. I did a good thing for these kids in their life. And I hope that they take it into their back halves. I'm going to end there. I feel good about that. I want to keep pushing that mentality. Keep beating your kids at what they do best. It's going to serve them well and serve you well too. Thanks for listening to Pop Jug, guys. I love having this avenue, and I'm thankful for the freedom to be able to speak my mind. And I know a lot of the stuff we talk about on here is just fun, but I'm really thankful and grateful for it. Grateful for you as listeners. Grateful to Pablo Guerrero. Check him out again at RC Amigos. Talk about RC on Spotify and wherever else you get your podcasts. You know, come on back, please, and listen in. The community is only as strong as its members. And, you know, what can I say? But keep it popping. Until next time, keep it popping.